Part 3. In this part, you will hear two segments from a radio program. After each segment, you will hear six questions about it. Before each segment begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each segment twice. Then you will hear the questions once. If you want to, you may take notes as you listen. You should mark A, B, or C. Do you have any questions? Look at the questions, then listen to the first segment. Now you will hear the first segment.
Firefighting is a very unusual occupation for a special kind of person. It is perceived to be dirty and extremely hazardous, yet it is indispensable and also prestigious. Firefighters are held in high esteem by the public for the essential work they do. However, few of us are aware of the nature of the hazards they face while on duty at a fire. Helen Green reports.
Occupational hazards experienced by firefighters may be categorized as psychological and physical. Psychological hazards include anxiety, stress, panic, and trauma. But more seriously, the physical dangers can lead to injury, disability, or even death. With me today is Fire Chief Patrick Riley, who has been a firefighter for over 20 years.
The physical hazards are many and varied. Apart from walls and ceilings that might collapse abruptly, there are explosive eruptions of flames and flashovers. For example, these explosions occur in a confined space like a house or office block when flames ignite chemicals and gas products or items in the building that give off toxic fumes as they burn. Plastics are an example of this. Flashover is the point in a fire when the room is completely engulfed in flames. Temperatures at flashovers have been measured in excess of 1,112 degrees Fahrenheit. Needless to say, one of the major hazards to firefighters is thermal, that is, heat stress from hot air, radiant heat, contact with hot surfaces, and the body heat generated by a firefighter in his efforts to put out the blaze. This body heat is trapped inside the insulating suits that firefighters wear and cannot be cooled. As the body gets continuously hotter, the firefighter suffers local injury, heat stress, burns, dehydration, heat stroke, and even cardiovascular collapse.
The physical conditions at the fire also play an important role in injury, don't they? For example, dry air doesn't have the capacity to retain heat, whereas air containing moisture, such as steam from burst pipes, does and can cause serious burns.
This is because more heat can be stored in water vapor than in dry air. Think of the air from a boiling kettle compared to that of a hairdryer. Which is hotter? The kettle, of course. And let's not forget radiant heat. Radiant heat is the glowing heat from extremely high temperatures, and it causes serious burns. Even firefighters who don't actually suffer a burn, but who are exposed in the long term to radiant heat, often show permanent changes in the skin.
Fire Chief Riley, when we talked earlier, you mentioned chemical hazards. How serious a risk are they to firefighters?
Extremely serious indeed. Over 100,000 firefighters are injured every year, and more than 50% of fire-related fatalities are the result of exposure to smoke rather than burns. The constituents of smoke are toxic, which is why firefighters often wear breathing apparatus to combat the risks from inhaling gases like carbon monoxide. But a major risk is hypoxia, or oxygen depletion in the atmosphere, as the flames consume all the oxygen in their path. A lack of oxygen causes a drop in physical performance, confusion, and the inability to escape.
Now you will hear the segment again.
Firefighting is a very unusual occupation for a special kind of person. It is perceived to be dirty and extremely hazardous, yet it is indispensable and also prestigious. Firefighters are held in high esteem by the public for the essential work they do. However, few of us are aware of the nature of the hazards they face while on duty at a fire. Helen Green reports.
Occupational hazards experienced by firefighters may be categorized as psychological and physical. Psychological hazards include anxiety, stress, panic, and trauma. But more seriously, the physical dangers can lead to injury, disability, or even death. With me today is Fire Chief Patrick Riley, who has been a firefighter for over 20 years.
The physical hazards are many and varied. Apart from walls and ceilings that might collapse abruptly, there are explosive eruptions of flames and flashovers. For example, these explosions occur in a confined space like a house or office block when flames ignite chemicals and gas products or items in the building that give off toxic fumes as they burn. Plastics are an example of this. Flashover is the point in a fire when the room is completely engulfed in flames. Temperatures at flashovers have been measured in excess of 1,112 degrees Fahrenheit. Needless to say, one of the major hazards to firefighters is thermal, that is, heat stress from hot air, radiant heat, contact with hot surfaces, and the body heat generated by a firefighter in his efforts to put out the blaze. This body heat is trapped inside the insulating suits that firefighters wear and cannot be cooled. As the body gets continuously hotter, the firefighter suffers local injury, heat stress, burns, dehydration, heat stroke, and even cardiovascular collapse.
The physical conditions at the fire also play an important role in injury, don't they? For example, dry air doesn't have the capacity to retain heat, whereas air containing moisture, such as steam from burst pipes, does and can cause serious burns.
This is because more heat can be stored in water vapor than in dry air. Think of the air from a boiling kettle compared to that of a hairdryer. Which is hotter? The kettle, of course. And let's not forget radiant heat. Radiant heat is the glowing heat from extremely high temperatures, and it causes serious burns. Even firefighters who don't actually suffer a burn, but who are exposed in the long term to radiant heat, often show permanent changes in the skin.
Fire Chief Riley, when we talked earlier, you mentioned chemical hazards. How serious a risk are they to firefighters?
Extremely serious indeed. Over 100,000 firefighters are injured every year, and more than 50% of fire-related fatalities are the result of exposure to smoke rather than burns. The constituents of smoke are toxic, which is why firefighters often wear breathing apparatus to combat the risks from inhaling gases like carbon monoxide. But a major risk is hypoxia, or oxygen depletion in the atmosphere, as the flames consume all the oxygen in their path. A lack of oxygen causes a drop in physical performance, confusion, and the inability to escape.
Number 39. According to the reporter, what is the attitude of the public to firefighting as a career? Number 40. How does Patrick Riley describe a flashover point? Number 41. Which of these can increase a firefighter's body temperature? Number 42. Why does Patrick Riley give the example of a kettle? Number 43. What does Patrick Riley say often causes death? Number 44. What is the main purpose of the passage? Look at the questions, then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
We're all familiar with stress. It's a natural response to fear and is meant to protect us. However, stress can seriously damage your health. Let's go over to Beth Parker to find out more.
Stress is the result of your perception that you can't cope or feel threatened. It's often referred to as the fight-or-flight response and involves a change in the body's metabolism. The body secretes small amounts of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline that raise your energy levels and allow you to achieve optimum performance. With me to discuss some recent research on stress are Dr. Eric Stevens and our medical correspondent, Jennifer Miller. A warm welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Beth.
Dr. Stevens, could you begin by elaborating on how stress can affect us?
I'd be glad to. When the body prepares itself for defensive action, cortisol gives us a quick burst of energy, heightens our memory function, and lowers our sensitivity to pain, while adrenaline speeds up the heart and respiration rates and sharpens the senses. All of this improves our chances of coping with acute stress, which is that sudden jolt to the system caused by a familiar crisis, a close call in the car or a phone call from the school nurse about your child. Such brief stress responses have temporary effects and pose little risk. But when a person is continually stressed, performance deteriorates and the risk of injury, disease, or even death rises. Chronic stress is cumulative and develops over weeks, years, or even a lifetime. The negative aspects of this stress are highly visible: illness, absenteeism from school or work, smoking, and alcohol abuse.
We often associate stress with adults and major life changes, like moving, being laid off, or even bereavement. However, it has been claimed that teenagers also suffer from debilitating stress.
Yes, it's a disturbing phenomenon. You see, teenagers have dreams and ambitions to get into a prestigious college, or to make it onto the track team. So the continual frustration of these ambitions can lead to high blood pressure, or what we call hypertension, a life-threatening condition that usually develops in adulthood.
That's worrying.
I agree. Researchers have been looking into this, haven't they, Eric?
Yes. Adolescence is a key factor, but the cause of stress differs between boys and girls. In one study, it was found that social rivalry and struggles for dominance were issues that triggered stress and high blood pressure in girls. In boys, hypertension was caused by feelings of isolation and a lack of support in their struggles. Teenage girls' issues focus around self-assertion, competition from female peers, and convincing parents they're mature enough to be out after midnight. The boys, on the other hand, find their parents' demands for straight A's in their studies a great source of anxiety. And even when teens described situations they find stressful, their blood pressure rose and remained high for a further 24 hours.
And that kind of stress is hardly the positive, automatic response that enables you to cope in a crisis, is it?
Absolutely not. Short-term increases in stress levels can be beneficial as they encourage change, but long-term stress manifests itself in illness, such as heart attack, stroke, or nervous breakdown.
It certainly seems that more needs to be done to raise awareness of stress in teens.
Now you will hear the segment again.
We're all familiar with stress. It's a natural response to fear and is meant to protect us. However, stress can seriously damage your health. Let's go over to Beth Parker to find out more.
Stress is the result of your perception that you can't cope or feel threatened. It's often referred to as the fight-or-flight response and involves a change in the body's metabolism. The body secretes small amounts of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline that raise your energy levels and allow you to achieve optimum performance. With me to discuss some recent research on stress are Dr. Eric Stevens and our medical correspondent, Jennifer Miller. A warm welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Beth.
Dr. Stevens, could you begin by elaborating on how stress can affect us?
I'd be glad to. When the body prepares itself for defensive action, cortisol gives us a quick burst of energy, heightens our memory function, and lowers our sensitivity to pain, while adrenaline speeds up the heart and respiration rates and sharpens the senses. All of this improves our chances of coping with acute stress, which is that sudden jolt to the system caused by a familiar crisis, a close call in the car or a phone call from the school nurse about your child. Such brief stress responses have temporary effects and pose little risk. But when a person is continually stressed, performance deteriorates and the risk of injury, disease, or even death rises. Chronic stress is cumulative and develops over weeks, years, or even a lifetime. The negative aspects of this stress are highly visible: illness, absenteeism from school or work, smoking, and alcohol abuse.
We often associate stress with adults and major life changes, like moving, being laid off, or even bereavement. However, it has been claimed that teenagers also suffer from debilitating stress.
Yes, it's a disturbing phenomenon. You see, teenagers have dreams and ambitions to get into a prestigious college or to make it onto the track team. So the continual frustration of these ambitions can lead to high blood pressure, or what we call hypertension, a life-threatening condition that usually develops in adulthood.
That's worrying.
I agree. Researchers have been looking into this, haven't they, Eric?
Yes. Adolescence is a key factor, but the cause of stress differs between boys and girls. In one study, it was found that social rivalry and struggles for dominance were issues that triggered stress and high blood pressure in girls. In boys, hypertension was caused by feelings of isolation and a lack of support in their struggles. Teenage girls' issues focus around self-assertion, competition from female peers, and convincing parents they're mature enough to be out after midnight. The boys, on the other hand, find their parents' demands for straight A's in their studies a great source of anxiety. And even when teens describe situations they find stressful, their blood pressure rose and remained high for a further 24 hours.
And that kind of stress is hardly the positive, automatic response that enables you to cope in a crisis, is it?
Absolutely not. Short-term increases in stress levels can be beneficial as they encourage change, but long-term stress manifests itself in illness, such as heart attack, stroke, or nervous breakdown.
It certainly seems that more needs to be done to raise awareness of stress in teens.
Number 45. Which positive aspect of stress does the reporter mention? Number 46. According to Dr. Stevens, why is acute stress less serious than other types of stress? Number 47. What does the reporter say is one of the most frequent causes of chronic stress? Number 48. What does Jennifer Miller imply about teenage stress? Number 49. What issue does Dr. Stevens suggest is the main cause of stress among boys? Number 50. What is the main purpose of this report? End of listening test.